St. Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer, Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Did you hear this news? That turns out to be fake news. Supposedly, I can't figure out who's telling the truth or not here because they're both coming from very good sources. The Vatican denies that Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI has a degenerative neurological disease or some paralyzing condition. So that's good news that he doesn't and that the Vatican has denied it. The confusing news is that that came out via his brother, which you would imagine is a pretty good source. Monsignor George Ratzinger told a magazine that Benedict XVI has a debilitating disease. So I guess we'll just trust the Vatican at this point until we hear something to the contrary. Whatever the case may be, pray for Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. Pray for Pope Francis, of course, that the Lord might keep them in good health for as long as the Lord wishes them to be in good health, of course. And that's a good thing that we do, and that we support our Holy Father. We support Pope Benedict as our former Holy Father leader. We pray for our bishops, for our shepherds that guide us and help us out. They need a lot of our prayers, and so we continue to pray for them. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the authors or maybe the publisher has been pushing and driving traffic towards this book, but I have seen over the last couple days so many different news articles and a couple different news reviews about a book called Self-Driven Children. It's by William Stixrud and Ned Johnson, and it's about kids and giving them control. Let me put this in context a little bit. Maybe I remember seeing on Twitter a tirade from my sister. I think I'm allowed to call it a tirade because it comes from my sister, because that's not a judgmental thing. It was, you know, what do you call those tweets? Like tweets after tweets, a tweet storm. Thank you, James. Yeah, James knows what's up. It was a tweet storm of a bunch of tweets about an experience that my sister had at the park where, if I recall correctly, it was another mom who was criticizing her because she was letting her kids run wild at a park. I mean, isn't that what you do? You let your kids run wild? Or are you a helicopter mom walking around following your children, walking, making sure they don't fall at all? I don't know what the circumstances are. All I know is that my sister took great offense at this, or maybe was just annoyed and frustrated and said, you know, why can't people realize that this is going to help build mutual support among older kids and younger kids. And you have the older kids watching over the younger kids, and they're looking out for them, believe it or not, even though it looks like a lot of chaos out there. Probably some of you parents can identify with that. Probably some of you look and you say, yeah, people don't get it. My older kids are taking care of my younger kids. I'm watching over all of them. I'm not being too permissive or too, you know, inconsiderate. I care about my children. But I also realize that sometimes they're going to fall and they're going to be okay. And sometimes their fights are going to break out and they're going to work it out, right? Arguments, I should say, are going to work them out. Well, it's interesting to me to, I was thinking of that story when I saw these different reviews for The Self-Driven Child, which, by the way, I haven't read myself, but the premise is rather interesting. The premise is this, that children in our own time are not given enough control of their lives. That in fact, parents are trying to control their children's lives to such a degree that it's having terrible effects in children's lives. For example, and this is something I didn't know. This is terrible in a certain sense, that anxiety, depression, and virtually all mental health problems, according to the authors, are associated very highly with a low sense of control, right? So there's an association when you feel, and maybe you should stick around for a couple hours and make sure you catch Joe Sikora and call in and say, hey, Father Matthew said that loss of control is correlated with anxiety, depression, and other mental health problems. That is to say, if you're anxious, then likely you're going to have this feeling that you're out of control. When you're depressed, you're going to feel like your life is not in control. And there's a relationship there between them that is very devastating for children. That when children feel as if they don't have a sense of control, it can contribute, according to these authors, to these mental health problems. Not only that, it contributes to stress in children's lives. So even if they don't end up having anxiety disorders or depression, our children have a lot more stress because their parents are trying to control their lives. This is, to me, very interesting because that's not why parents do it. I mean, when you look at helicopter moms or helicopter dads, they do it out of a sense of love, right? I mean, parents want the best for their children and they feel that their children need them there. And that's a good thing, that they're trying to be there for their kids and they're trying to make sure that their kids realize they're there for them and make sure that their kids don't get into a problem that they can't find their way out of without the parents' help. But there's a connection here that children somehow have to learn also to find this awareness of how the world works. The conclusion, I have to realize there's a theological conclusion from their book here. That what they're saying is the way you get over this is not to give your kids more control. It's to help them realize they're never going to be in control. That there's no way that they can control situations, which to me is, I started to cringe at that, like, well, wait a sec. I mean, I have to be responsible for my decisions. I'm in control of my actions, aren't I? And I'm in control of how I respond to certain situations. So that part to me is maybe a little problematic, but I do see a theological connection here that we have to recognize that God is in control. We have to recognize that God is the one who is driving ultimately the situations and circumstances of our lives. We try as individuals to be in control of things. So I try to make sure that situations turn out the way that I want. And I try to make sure my children do what I want. And I try to make sure that these particular problems that I have go away in the way that I would plan them to go away. That's just normal behavior that we have as individuals. But I do think there's the realization that each one of us has to come to, and especially as Christians, that there are many things that we can't control. There are many things that only God can control. And I think that's true, right? When we let go of the sense of control, very oftentimes we find freedom. We find an ability to respond and to be happy, to be joyful at least, even when things aren't going our way. I mean, that to me is a powerful part of this. I guess what I'm saying is I can't recommend this book one way or the other for your parenting skills, and probably there are plenty of other good books that parents out there could recommend to me about what children need and how to raise them. But to me, there is a point here that goes back to our Christian life. When you and I let go and allow God to be in control and allow God to be in control and realize that, yes, it's true, we don't always have to be in control. We do have to take responsibility for those things that are up to us. So I have to take responsibility for my actions. And I have to decide when things are correct to do, when they aren't. I have to decide when to go to confession and when I don't need to go to confession. And then I have to follow through and do it to the best of my ability. But we also, on the same hand, it's the other side of the coin, really. We have to recognize that we can't always be in control. And that's a beautiful thing in our Christian life, to surrender to God. It's ultimately what Lent is about so much. I mean, in the same way that Jesus in his passion surrendered himself to the will of the Father. You remember, he's on the Mount of Olives. His disciples can't stay awake with him. He's sweating blood from so much turmoil in his heart over what he's about to experience and go through for me and for you. And he says, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. He surrendered himself to the will of the Father. And he discovered in that surrender this ability to keep moving forward. Of course, he's God, so I'm using human terms here, right? The ability. He has it there, and he suffered for us and for our example, for us to learn from that. So you and I look and say, well, can we do the same thing? Take control of those things we can, and then let go of those things we can't. Be responsible for those things that we know are our responsibility, but recognize and have serenity. Does it remind you of the serenity prayer, right? But ultimately to be able to surrender and say, Lord, help me to have the wisdom to know the difference between those times when I am in control and those times when I'm not. It might lead to great mental health, or better mental health anyway, for me and for you. It will lead to better health for our children, but especially it will lead us to be good Christians following the Lord in the way that he wants. I'll be right back. I'm Father Matthew. You're listening to St. Joseph's Workshop.